Good morning. Last week, we began the sugya of Yoyred. And what we discussed is, if a person does work, he improves another person's property. There was no negotiations, there was no contract, you never hired the fellow. But we went through the different parameters, what the liability of the landowner is. As we explained, there are what comes down to really four different types of cases. The first case is a person performs a service that the recipient needed. Had the worker not gone and done it on his own, the recipient would have had to hire a worker himself. The work absolutely needed to be done. In such a case, it's a sado ha'asui olita. You have to pay, and you have to pay the full price. Although you never hired him, there was no contract, but since it needed to be done, the fellow went ahead and did it for you. In that case, you clearly would need to pay. You would need to pay the full price. If he's disputing whether he needed it or not, so you'll have it entire whether it was really needed. But in a case where it was absolutely necessary, and it's clear to Beis Din that he's just trying to play hardball, he's just trying to deprive the worker of what he's entitled to, then they will force him to pay. There was actually a story that was going around a few years ago in Eretz Yisrael. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. You can draw your own conclusions. But there was a fellow who was involved. He was donating a kidney. The doctor was supposed to remove his left kidney, and something went wrong. And the doctor ended up removing the wrong kidney. Takes it out. And after they took it out, before they actually transplanted it into the recipient, they noticed there was a tumor, and there was cancer there. And when the fellow woke up, the doctor handed him a bill for the operation. The patient said, "Listen, I hired you. I paid you. The deal was you're going to take out the left kidney. You took out the right kidney. We never negotiated for this. I don't want to pay. Besides which, I think this operation was supposed to be paid by the recipient. Now that there was no recipient, because no one's taking a kidney that had a tumor in it, so now the donor was the one stuck with the bill. So can the doctor charge or not?" This is a clear case of a sado ha'asui olita. The patient may not have known that how sick he was, but certainly he needed to have this removed. It was a danger. And therefore, the doctor would be entitled to full compensation, even though he did the wrong thing. He would probably be disbarred at the same time, or whatever they do with doctors, but he's entitled to be paid. He performed a service, it's a soyulita, and he's entitled to reimbursement. Yes, I would imagine so. both incompetent and very lucky. Now, this leads us to a very common issue. And that is, you have a doctor, you have a dentist, where a person goes, he has the procedure done, he has the root canal done, and then there's some issue with the insurance. The insurance is not paying. And the patient says, "Had I known the insurance wasn't going to pay, I would have gone to another doctor or another dentist, I would have gone elsewhere." Now, technically speaking, this is certainly an asui olita. The root canal has to be taken care of. The patient is not walking around in pain for the rest of his life. So it is a case of asui olita. The job needs to be done. However, this is a case of asui olita. The job may need to be done, but the patient has a way of doing it in a much cheaper way. So this is similar to the Ramah in Shinayin Hei Sif Dalet. The Ramah discusses a case where it is asui olita. There's a plant, a field, where what makes sense to do is to plant trees. And therefore, if someone plants the trees in the field, he's entitled to be paid. However, if the owner of the field happens to be a gardener, and that's what he does for a living, he plants trees, he can tell the Yoyrid, "Thank you very much, but no thanks, I can do it myself. I'm not paying you the going rate to go ahead and plant the trees. I would have done it on my own, and it would have cost me much less." Salach over there is the Ramah Paskins, that although it's a suyolita, you only pay the actual benefit that you received. So, if you go to the doctor, you go to the dentist, there's the expectation that he'll take the insurance, and for some reason it doesn't work out, although it's asui olita, although the job needs to be done, since the patient has the ability to get the job done at a less expensive rate, that is all that he would need to pay. Now, you do have to be careful. You do have to be careful. Really, 2 points. The first point is that very often it's the patient's responsibility to make sure that the insurance will be accepted. The patient has the primary responsibility. The insurance is just secondary. So when it is the patient's responsibility, obviously this argument won't hold. You went to the doctor. You went to the dentist. You agreed to pay this amount. The fact that your insurance didn't cover would be your problem. The second point, which could get, depending on the situation, is that astuyulita is when someone planted the trees and you didn't need him. You could have planted it yourself, or you had someone less expensive that can plant the trees. When you're dealing with a doctor or with a dentist, it is somewhat more complex than just putting trees in the ground. And therefore, the fact that a dentist exists, if he is not capable, if he's not the same level of competence, then it's not so clear it's astuyulita simply, or that it's an astuyulita simply because someone else is around. It has to be someone else who you'd be willing to go to, who could provide a service that you actually received.
According to this concept, you could reimpose your service to somebody who he doesn't want. You go around, let's see, you the driveways. You go to their little driveway, and you know that it needs some care. You'll fix their driveways and say, fine, here's the bill. And I want to use the other guy. I want to use this guy.
Excellent. So it's not a bad business model. But it really depends what you're doing. If you're going ahead and removing tumors from people, then enochanami, you're doing a vital service to them, and it's something which needed to be done. They would need to pay for, and it's a win-win situation. However, in real life, most cases really fall into the next category, and that is in a typical case of asuyolita, where someone is not terminally ill. It's not something which desperately needs. The roof is not about to cave in. It's something asuyulita. It's an improvement which is appropriate. It's normal to be done, but it's not desperate. An example would be is if you're going around doing driveways, if there are potholes and it's in terrible condition, and it's in a neighborhood or where the norm is that every couple of years you go ahead and you redo your driveway. Now, if you're in a less affluent neighborhood, they may redo it every 10 years, every 20 years, or just never redo it because people just don't have the funds. But if you go to someone, there's a nice big mansion, it's well maintained, clearly this needs to be done, and you go ahead and you do it. So you're basically helping him out. You're saving him the bother of going ahead and hiring someone and dealing with him. So in that case, it's a sada hasuyulito, you're entitled to full compensation. Very good. So by asado hasuyulita, even when it's appropriate, so this concept that you have to pay the full value of the services, so here there's many rishonim, or it's machlokes rishonim, but some rishonim say that's only if the person did the services, you're happy with the services. So there the halacha is you have to pay the full value. However, if you tell the person tol, you say, tol yitzach lav melech, it's very nice you did the work for me, I don't want it, I don't need it, rip it all up, take it away. So some Rishonim say you have the right to do that. Because, and the argument that they use is exactly your argument, you can't force someone to hire you. You can't force someone to buy your goods, your services, against their will. And therefore, even though it's a suyulita, even though this improvement is appropriate, still, if the owner demands that you get rid of it, then some Rishonim say you have the right to do so. Other Rishonim argue, the Ramban argues, and the Ramban says that basically, Tainayhu Mavakish, if it needs to be done and you don't have any good reason why you're telling him to get rid of it, we say you're just playing hardball, you're just trying to deprive the service provider of what he's entitled to, and you'll be forced to pay. And the Chazanish says it depends on the case. If you can establish that although you live in a huge mansion in a nice neighborhood, bottom line is the economy is not what it used to be, and you need this money for food. So then the Chazon Ish says everyone would agree you have the right to say tol. You have the right to say this is not what I'm up to today, get rid of it. However, if you cannot provide any justification and you just seem to be playing hardball just to save a few dollars off the other fellow's back, there you would be forced to pay.
When a person says tear it up, that doesn't mean there's a key when the other guy tear it up, just he's forgotten his diet.
Well, if the person wants one, if the person demands, you know, it's very nice you built this beautiful office complex. It has a lot of value, but I don't want it in my backyard. I live here. So in that case, you have the right to say, hire a wrecker and get rid of it. This is not what I want.
But in case you pay this driveway, obviously it's a good thing for him. So if he tells him, he just has to tell him that the guy's not forced to do it, right?
So in a case like he's in a case where it's a benefit, where he doesn't have any reason, there is a concept of koyfen al midastayim that we'll discuss in a future share. But you can't just have him rip it up for no reason. But if it's bothering you, if it's something that you don't want, then you have every right to say, get rid of it and restore the property to the original to its original condition.
But if you don't have money to pay for it, if in the driveway, now it's nice, you tell him, I think what you're saying is rip it up, and if the paper says, you know what, I just don't want to bother, he has the right to pay for it, can do that, right? He doesn't have to rip it up.
Yeah, if you don't want it to be ripped up, you don't want it to be ripped up. You know, It's not a question of says. The Gemara has a case where he said get rid of it. Then he did things that made it clear that he really wanted it, he really appreciated it, and he benefited from it. So if the other Gemara says, very nice, you said get rid of it, but if we see from your actions that you really want to keep it, if you want to keep it, you have to pay for it. You get the benefit, you have to pay.
How do you reconcile this with the concept of
is a specific schos, you know, when you grind the most place in holes, it's not considered a mammon, but that's when you have stucco, you have trumo, you have meisters, you have the right to channel it to who you want to give it to. There's an assumption that if you need the job needs to be done, and it's done already. You come home one day and someone took care of all the hassle for you. You don't have to sit there making phone calls. It's done. That is a benefit. And since you have that benefit, that's something that you have to pay for. You may have preferred had you thrown the business, but after the fact, when it's here already, if you have the benefit, you have to pay for it. So there's actually an interesting discussion in the poskim. It could be that he can tell the person that I'm benefiting from it, so we can be partners in this. And Chazon Ish suggests perhaps in the case of a field where you improve the property, so the recipient benefits. So he says perhaps what we should do is this: the increase in revenue that this improvement caused, let him pay down the yoyrid with that extra money if he doesn't have money to take out of his pocket. There is a discussion, they can be partners, they can sell to a third party. That's something that we're not going to go into. He probably was in this case. In this case, he probably was. Okay, that's true. That's true. That's true. Had you been given the choice before, you have two choices. Either go to the top doctor in Sloan Kettering or go to a Shlomazel that doesn't know his right hand from his left hand. We know what you choose. On the other hand, the case of Yoyrid is when the job was done correctly. If the job was not done correctly, then clearly he would absolutely no claim. We're assuming the job was done correctly. You have the benefit. So adarabah, the fact that had you known in advance, you would have gone to the most expensive doctor in Manhattan and paid his rates. And instead, today, the bill that you're receiving is a fraction of that because it's some shlamazel doctor. That's all for your benefit. But certainly, it has to be done correctly. If it wasn't done correctly, there's absolutely no claim. If you can't know, that runs into another issue. If a yoyrid comes to you and says that, I know you didn't hire me, you don't know who I am, but I just did massive improvements to your property, he would have to prove that he made the improvements. Interestingly enough, if it's clear that he made the improvements, and we want to know what his expenses were, there the yoyrid is a nishma v'noitel. He makes a shvua, and we believe him. Because he's in the position to know, the other person, the Baal Bayis, doesn't know. However, the Nesivos and Kiveger and Simon Shin Mem Aleph both write, if you don't know whether there were improvements or not, There, you don't have to believe him, and we say, Hamayit Mechadeo Al-Harai.
A lot of times you wouldn't have to wait. I mean, you can ask a resident.
Okay.
The dentist will tell you not every job and not every root canal is going to last.
Okay, if they are svekas, you'll go to a dentator. The bezdin will either have to open up your mouth and do an examination and figure out whether it is a good root canal or not a root canal. We'll ask our resident experts. If not, perhaps you have to wait time. That's an issue that a bezdin will have to deal with if it arises. But once it's clear that you received the benefit, it was done well, the fact that it wasn't your first choice of a dentist would not be a defense. Okay. Let's move on a little bit. So this is by a case of asuyulita, something which is appropriate to be done. Now, although it's a machlokes whether you can say tall, although it's a machlokes whether you can demand that the person rip it out and get rid of it, everyone agrees if before the fact you tell the person, I don't want this, I want just the basic job, and he goes ahead and he adds things on his own, there certainly will not have the right to make a claim as a yard. You can certainly tell him, get rid of it, I don't want it, and you don't have to pay for it. Now, therefore, we mentioned the case last week in passing. You have a contractor, you hire him to build an addition, and he goes ahead and he throws in upgrades. So we said, it depends what kind of upgrades they are. If it's a suyulita, if it's upgrades that are appropriate from the neighborhood, this is what everyone does, he should have the right to demand for full payment. If it's ain't a suyulita, if he throws in these upgrades that aren't typical, then he's not necessarily entitled. He'll be entitled to less. That we'll get to in a minute. However, in most cases, if you sat down with the contractor before he began the job, and you go through the various options how you want to build the house, and you tell him, I want four spotlights in this room, not six spotlights, not eight, but I want four, and you tell him what you do want and what you don't want. So this would be the equivalent of a macha. You're making it clear to him in advance that although the other people in the neighborhood might have fancier houses, that's not what you want, and therefore that would by definition become an ein asuyulita, and you would certainly be able to tell him, get rid of it, I don't want to pay for it. Even if they are typical upgrades. Now one other point to keep in mind that comes up very often in these type of cases, if you hire someone to build a house for you, and he ends up throwing in upgrades and wants to send you a bill, so you really have to think long and hard exactly what the case is. Because the situation of Yairut is always, I have a vacant lot. I hire a builder to come into my property and build a house for me. So then if he goes ahead and he throws in upgrades, we can discuss a Yairut, whether there was a Macha, there wasn't a Macha, that's where our whole discussion is. On the other hand, if I'm buying a house the other way around, where there's a developer that owns a piece of property, and I sign a contract, I tell him, and he's going to build the house as per the specs, and then sell it to me. So when he goes ahead, if he upgrades the house, he wasn't a yoyer it into my house. It's not mine. It's his house. We have a contract that when he completes the house, he's going to sell it to me. So over here, the discussion of yoyer it really doesn't apply. He was not yoyer it into my house. He was yoyer it into his own house. So now we can discuss, if we have a contract to buy a basic house at one price, and now he doesn't have a basic house, he has an upgraded house, so perhaps he can reopen the negotiations of the contract, perhaps not. But the concept of Yoyrid doesn't really apply, because Yoyrid is when I go into your house, I do something that directly benefits you. What? So he has a contract, but the bottom line is, it's not his house yet. And therefore, when the contractor did this, he was improving his house, he was improving his piece of property, and therefore the concept of yoyer wouldn't apply. Now these cases were all by a suyolita. You made improvements that were appropriate for this field, for this house, for this situation. The next category is a soda she'en ha-suyolita, which is you improved the property, but you did it in a way, this is not the norm, people don't need this, they don't necessarily want it. So that is a soda she'en ha-suyolita. Here the halacha is, the owner can certainly say tol. He can certainly say, this is not the normal thing for this property, get rid of it, I don't want it. Even if he chooses to keep it, he does not have to pay the full value, the full cost of the services. What he does is, he reimburses the yoyrid for his expenses, provided that the value that he got, or the shvach, is at least equal to the expenses. So you basically, the laborer, the yoyrid, will not get any more than his expenses, and if his expenses are greater than the improvement, then he will just get the value of the improvement. He will not even get the full value of his expenses. Now, if a person does work and there is no added value, the halacha is he gets absolutely nothing. And therefore, if you hire a painter and your wife spends weeks or months picking out the perfect shade of white and the perfect shade of color for every room in the house, and the painter messes up and the living room kitchen color ends up in the kitchen, the kitchen color ends up in the dining room, he paints just the wrong colors in the wrong places. So halacha is it'll depend. If the house was in lousy condition and it desperately needed a paint job, so then the homeowner got some level of benefit because the house needed a paint job. Now it doesn't. So it would be a sado hasulita, it needed to be painted. And if you're happy with it, if you're not saying tall, if you're not going to repaint it, you would have to pay the value for the paint job. On the other hand, if the house is in fine condition, the reason why you were painting is your wife decided it's time to update, it's time to refresh the look. So she's only doing it for the look, so there's no dollars and cents gain. It was fine before, it was fine after. You only did it because you wanted a specific look. If you don't get that look, then you don't have to pay anything. Now, this comes up very often in... So if it's einasu yulitza, if the person doesn't want it and he's not getting any benefit out of it, then he pays nothing. Okay, right. So shvach, I don't know if shvach has to mean what you would sell the house for, because the house isn't for sale. You're living in it. Shvach would probably mean the value of the improvement to the person living there. With difficulty. Usually, it's what people pay to have such a service done, which is usually the full cost in a case like that. But it really depends on the situation.
You say the value of supply, it's like the lowest price that you could buy the
expenses is the, yeah, it would be the lowest price, the basic cost of labor. You don't pay the fact that a professional painter or something has a premium and makes a profit, that is not included in hutzos.
If he would change the paint to satisfy his wife, then that's like saying tall.
If they would redo it, he's saying that I have no benefit from this. The whole point of this was to make my wife happy. She's not happy. There's no point.
If it needed a paint job,
then it's asuyulito. Then it really should depend whether you can say tall or not by asuyulito. In a case like this, where it's very clear and obvious that the reason why you went into this in the first place is to satisfy your wife, so you're saying tall for a very good reason. So according to Chazon Ish, you'd be able to do that, and you would not have to pay. That's true, but if the way the Chazon Ish learns that if you have a good reason why you're saying tall, and it's clear that you're not just playing hardball, you're not just trying to get the painter, you're doing it because for you it's worth it to do it over again, then according to Chazon Ish, you'd have the right to say tall. So again, is it asu yulita or not? Does the house need siding, or is it okay to get it to? So if that's the normal thing to do, then it would be a sada she'ein asu yulita, and therefore you would get your expenses. If the homeowner says, "I don't want that. I'd rather just have paint. I don't want to pay for the expenses," he would have the right to do so. But at the maximum you would get is your expenses. You would not be able to ask him for the full price because it's ein asu yulita. Now, another interesting case of Yoyrid is we discussed way back in Hilchos Nekechtos that a person can buy a property, or more commonly, I think, for this issue, is a person can buy a business. And after he closes on the property, after he buys the business, he sees it's a Nekechtos, that what was delivered and what were promised were not exactly the same thing, and he wants to undo the deal. So we went through the halachos a few months ago. If it is a mekach tois, you were promised one thing, and it's defective, something else was delivered, You have the right to undo the deal. Get back your money, get back the item, and everyone moves on. What happens if in between you closed on the house, before you noticed the defect, you went ahead and you redecorated? You bought the business. Before you realized that you were taken for a ride, you went ahead and you invested more money, you invested more capital, you fixed things up, and you changed things around. So the Rambam says you have a din of a yoyrid. And when you return the business, when you return the piece of property, you have the right to demand from the seller reimbursement for the money that you put in. However, you're only entitled if there was shvach. If what you did improved the property, it improved the business. On the other hand, if you buy the house, you decide to redecorate so that it's more your taste, but the value didn't go up, there's no dollars and cents gained to the seller, so in that case, you would not be reimbursed. It's only if you actually created value for the seller, there you'll have a din of a yoyrid, you'll get reimbursed. But if you didn't create value, although you spent money out of your pocket, the bottom line is the seller didn't gain anything from that, and you would not be able to claim as a yoyrid according to most paiskim. The Nesivus in Siman Reish Hey brings a Teres Emes that argues, but the Mechaber seems to hold you'd be potter. Another case of yoyrid is when you have partners. If one partner goes ahead and decides to invest in the business, to build something up, so the halacha is, even if he takes money out of his own pocket, he invested in the business, a partner always has a din of a yoyrid birshos, and he always has the right to be reimbursed for the benefit, for the investment, for what he put into the business. So even though if a stranger did it, it may be a sadeh shein asu yulita, it's not the typical thing to do, but a partner has more jurisdiction, he has the authority to use his discretion, and if he decides this is what's good and he invests additional money, he has the right to demand full payment for the services that he provided. Now, if the profits are less than the value of the services, that's a machlokes. There are more paskins. You don't get reimbursed. It is a machlokes. But certainly, if the deal works out, the investment pays off, he's entitled to as a sadeh asu yulita, he's entitled to the full value of what he put in. Now, this is a summary of the halakhos of a yoyrid. You went ahead, you provided services to someone without being asked. There is, on the other hand, an entire category of cases where you do not necessarily get reimbursed. One of the examples we gave last week is a person is walking by a house in the middle of the winter, and he sees that everything's dark, there's no one home, and he sees that it seems that there's water pouring out of the basement. And he looks inside and he notices that the pipe had burst, the owner went away, turned the heat off. So he jumps inside, fixes the pipe, and leaves the fellow a bill. So what's the halacha in this case? So is it asu yulita or ain asu yulita? It's asu yulita, it needs to be done. So the chori should be able to send a bill. Now the problem over here is that besides Asada Asu Yulita, as the other pointed out, there's also a mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. Now Hashavas Aveda, most of us think of it in the terms of you're walking down the street, you see your friend's cow heading in the other direction, running away. So you chase after the cow, you return it, Hashavas Aveda. However, the Gemara says that there's Aveda's Karka. If you see someone's money about to be lost, there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda to protect another person's money and to protect it from harm. Now, we all know the halacha is that if you return an aveda, Betsy the cow was running down the street, you went ahead, you happen to work in the rodeo, you chase it, bring it back, you spend 3-4 hours trying to bring the cow back to the owner. Can you bill the owner for the time that you spent? So halacha is, the mitzvah shavas aveda, you do not have the right to charge for. So it'll come out, going back to our plumber case, if the pipe was burst and there's water just all over the basement, there's a chiyuv hashavas aveda to stop, to prevent this damage. And because of the chiyuv hashavas aveda, it should be aser to ask for reimbursement for your time. So even though it's similar to a yoyrid, because it's hashavas aveda, you would not be able to charge. Now if you think about it, there's really a bit of a technicality here, and that is, when the water is pouring out of the burst pipe, what do you have to do to be Meshav Aveda? What do you have to do to stop the damage? Turn off the water. So if you want to send a bill for turning off the water, the homeowner can say, Mitzvah Shavas Aveda, I don't have to pay. But Halta Shavas Aveda, once the water's off, there's no chi if you go ahead and fix his pipes. That he can call a plumber for. So although you can charge for Hashavas Aveda, but certainly the time that you spend fixing the pipe, which is obviously the bulk of the time, there that's a regular case of a yoyrid, and you had every right to send the bill. It's only the act of turning off the turning off the water, which who knows what plumbers charge for that. So it'll depend if the case is there's an Atashavas Aveda Zachiv to do it, then you won't be able to charge. If it's anything which is above Hashavas Aveda, you're doing it just because you know he's going to have to do it eventually. So you're going ahead and you're helping him out. In that case, you would be a regular din of a yoyrid and you would be able to charge. You know, you don't do it directly. You hire someone else to be Meshav Aveda. Okay, we'll get back to that in a moment. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. We'll discuss it. There's a smile about that. Well, that we're gonna have to wait till we get to Hashavas Aveda. But this rule that you don't pay for Hashavas Aveda, we'll see, is more. There are more gedarim to it. We'll get back to some of it in a few moments, but others we'll have to wait for another time. Now this leads us to another concept. And this is a concept of Mavriach Ari, which comes up throughout the Gemara in a number of cases. What essentially the Gemara says is like this. In Mavriach Ari, if you hear of one day the lion escapes from the zoo, someone goes ahead, he's all concerned that the lion's going to come to your field, eat up the sheep, your pets, whatever it may be. He goes ahead, and he chases the lion away. Chases the lion away. He wants to send you a bill. He did the service for you. So the Gemara says, "Mavriach ari minichse chaveroi." If you go ahead and you chase away lions, you do not get paid. If anyone's looking for a new career, lion chasers do not get paid in halacha. Now, Tosfos wants to know why not. L'chera you're a yoyrid. You're going ahead. You're providing a valuable service. Chasing away lions is something very important. So Zog Tosfos, that no, yoyrid is always, you go ahead and you directly improve someone else's field. You go ahead, you paint, you plant, you build a house. You're doing a direct benefit, a change to the other person's property. When you're being mavriach ari, you're just chasing away lions, your field did not become more valuable, your field did not become more useful, there's no change in the field, and that does not have the regular gedarim of yoyrid. What? Well, the havmin is, it's a very valuable service. If there's a lion coming at you, it's something which you'd want someone to do it. We'll get to in a minute. Very good. Now the problem with, so Tosfos asks a number of questions. Tosfos has a number of cases throughout Shas where if a person is threatened with a damage, there's a ganovim come, they're about to steal someone's goods, you have to hire the sheriff or you have to hire armed guards to protect it. So the Gemara says, you get reimbursed. There are many cases of Hashavas Aveda, although we said before, when you're Meshav Aveda, you don't get paid. There are many cases where you do get paid, Schar Batalo, you get paid different amounts. But there are many cases where, if you save someone from damage, the halacha is you do get reimbursed. So the question is, when is it Mavriach Ari? And when do we say you save someone for damage, you're entitled to reimbursement? Zog Tosfos, it depends how clear and how imminent the danger was. In the case of Mavriach Ari, Tosfos says, the lion escaped from the zoo. Now, the zoo might be down the block, but you don't know which way the lion's going to head. Even if it heads in your direction, you don't know that it's going to stop at your house and decide to eat your pet for lunch. Maybe it will keep on going and go to the next person. Zog Tosfos. Whenever you save someone from damage, if it's not for sure the damage will happen, then you have absolutely no claim. If you walk around, you're concerned of that, who knows what, you're concerned about Kanovim, you're a nervous person, you go ahead, you start a patrol. As long as it is not completely clear that this person would have suffered a loss, you have absolutely no claim against him. Masha'enkein, if you're dealing with a case where they're Ganovim, they're at the person's house, they're coming, they stole his thing, you have to rescue it. Where there is a clear threat to the person's nechasim, there the halacha is, if you go ahead, you pay money, you spend time, you spend money to rescue it, there you have every right to demand reimbursement. So although it's not a regular case of yoyrid, you're not improving it, you're not directly building, you're not directly improving the property, since, if not for your action, he would have lost the thing, because of your actions he was saved, you do have to pay him. Fine. So that is discussed in the Pisle Shuvin. Simon Reish Samach Dala discusses these cases. He says if the public is different, everyone pays taxes. Now, you don't know whether a country will be attacked or not. You still have to pay taxes to support the military because that is a tzoyrich of something that the tzibur needs. If each person would say, I don't know, maybe we won't be attacked, and if we are attacked, maybe they'll go to my next door neighbor's house. So tzibur is different, and they certainly have the right to make a claim. Again, we'll see other reasons perhaps as well, but that's the way the Pisle Tshuva speaks it out. It's like this. If it's a sadik, whether it will come or not, that's mavriach ari, and that, regardless, you do not get paid. If you know there is a clear danger that's not mavriach ari, you do get reimbursed. It is also, in many cases, hashavas aveda. And there you'll have to go through, as I mentioned before, even by hashavas aveda, you very often are entitled to kaparel batel, you're entitled to something. If you have expenses, you certainly have the right to be reimbursed. So you'll have to go through in Siman Reish Samach Dalet and Reish Samach Hei exactly what you get paid and what you don't. But in a chanami, it usually is hashavas aveda, then you'll have to go through the gedarim of what you're entitled to. Yeah, once you're hired, you're hired. That's clear. Correct. There, if you're mavriach ari, you'll get reimbursed. Good. So that's the poskim will speak out. It's talking about where you can save it ayde hadchak. Otherwise, if it's gone, if it's a zutah shel yom, that would be hefker to be able to keep it. In a chanami, that is in Siman Reish Samach Dalet. That is one of the criteria. But there's a difference. Even when there's a present where you can be matzal yidei adchak, but the bottom line is, if no one's matzal it, it will be lost. And that's why it's not mevriach ari. Again, there are three cases. If it's a suffix, whether anything will happen, that's mevriach ari michas chadei or your pater. If it's vaday going to happen and no one else can save it, then you're correct. That zutah shel yom, that's hefker. If someone rescues it, they can keep it. If it's something which it's in its clutches, but it's yochel lahatzal yidei adchak, and you go ahead and you save it, that's a case of mavriach ari where you're entitled to be reimbursed. Zushyam is the case where Zushyam has the same halacha, that if no one can save it, then if the owner can't save it, then it's hefker. If there are other people that could save it yidei adchak, then it will not become hefker. Okay, let's put that aside. That's Reish Samach Dalet, Reish Samach Hei. We'll get to that. So just to summarize, if yoyer it is when you're improving the person's property, if you're just doing something to save him from damage, there, if it's a suffix, if it may or may not happen, the halacha is you never have to pay. If it is a vada, if it's something which without your actions there will be a hezek, there will not be mevriach ari, there will be a chiv, you will have to deal with the halachas of hashavas aveda when you are entitled to charge and when not, but certainly would be a chiv, if there are expenses you certainly would have to pay, and and those are the parameters that you'll have to deal with when you're saving somebody else. Now there is one last condition you need for a yoyrid, and that is the case of yoyrid is always someone comes to your house and they make the improvements. They know good and well it's not their house. They know you're the owner. They know you're the one that's going to benefit. And their intent is, when they're done, they're going to send you a bill. What happens if a person makes improvements, But his kavanah, he is not out. His intent is not to benefit another person. The Divrei Goyim has a fascinating case. A person rented a field for a year. He planted crops, he plowed the field, he did everything he was supposed to do. Unfortunately, nothing grew. So at the end of the year, he paid his rent, he lost his entire investment, and the field reverted back to the original owner. The next year, suddenly, everything sprouted. And all of the work that he had done, everything that he had planted the year earlier, now started growing. So the farmer that had leased the property said, "I'm a yoyrid. I planted this field. You're the one that's reaping the benefit. Everything's growing. I want to be reimbursed." So if you hear the Divrei Goyim says from the Chesed Ba'Avraham, nothing doing. Yoyrid is always when you go ahead and you're improving someone else's property. Since you improve the property, you have the right to be paid. Over here, what you did was for yourself. You leased it for a year. So you planted it with the intent of getting the benefit. Now it's true things didn't work out the way you wanted. And it ended up, nothing grew the first year, all grew the second year. But a yoyrid, you're not going to be able to claim. Okay, so that case, there are a number of cases, that's a more difficult problem. There are a number of cases where a person plants a field thinking that it's his, and then he finds out where it's not his. So it is, at least the way the Nesivus understands, in Bederach Klal, you will be a Yoyrid. Because your intent was to improve this field for the owner. You thought the owner was you. Now you found out it's him. So Bederach Klal, you will be able to be reimbursed. Ma'ash Egin over here, you improved it, you put it in because you wanted it to grow this year. It didn't grow. But when you knew who the owner was, you knew you had a one-year lease, and therefore that would not be a Yoyrid. But even in your case, it's not so simple. According to the SMA, you might have the same issue here that you didn't improve it for that person. You may not be able to get reimbursed. But according to the Nesivus, you would get it because of the reason that we just discussed. Now, based on this, there's a little bit more to it, which we'll go into more in detail next week. But just to leave you with a little bit of a story. A fellow owed the government $3 million. Now, he had to pay the money. So he decided, he hit upon a brilliant idea. What he did is the king back then, they had a ledger where all the royal debts were recorded in the royal ledger, and it was in the ledger, you had to pay unless you had a receipt. What the fellow did is he bribed the royal accountant and he had him rip out a page of the ledger. Once the record is gone, they hacked the computer system, there's no record, he's off the hook. Now, the way the arrangements were, he had to make sure that the royal accountant was being honest and was actually ripping out the page. So the deal was, he paid him his $50,000, and the royal accountant brought him the page of the ledger that had his debt. He gets the page, and he looks at it, and he turns it over, and he sees on the other side that there was a fellow by the name of Yankel Schwartz, who owed the government $6 million. And now that the page is gone, it's gone. So he calls Yankel, he introduces himself, and he says, "I have good news and bad news. The good news is, this $6 million debt, you don't have to pay anymore. There's no official record anymore. But the bad news is that it cost me money to arrange this, and I want you to pay me for getting this page ripped out of the ledger." Now, without going into whether he should or shouldn't have had this ripped out in the first place, what the Bnei Aharon Paskins is that this is a case where he's claiming basically a yoyrid. He went ahead, the person did the work, and Yankel Schwartz benefited in a very big way. On the other hand, in this case, when he was a yoyrid, he had no intention to benefit anybody else. He was doing it for himself. He didn't spend anything extra because of Yankel Schwartz. He didn't know about Yankel Schwartz. And therefore, in this case, Bnei Aharon Paskins, you have no right to pass along the bill because you did it for yourself, you're not a yoyrid, and you would have absolutely no claim. Good. So this really brings us to the next topic we're going to deal with, is Nene Zenen of Zelei Chaser. Until now, we've been discussing a yoyrid when a person does work. There's a related issue of Nene, what happens when one person benefits from another person's assets or money or actions. That's a sugya of Nene, and that, Mr. Shem, we'll get to next week. Thank you.